Wonderful. And please take your seats. Oh, wow. You know, the Bible says you are clean because the word I spoke over you. And, you know, viruses are dirty little things, nasty little things. And by God's grace, we claim the Lord's cleansing. Can you imagine that such a thing that would cause such terror that can be killed by alcohol? Isn't it strange? People panic buying the weirdest stuff. They saw, I don't know whether you know the story, but they saw people panic buying toilet roll in Australia. And they ran it over and over and over and over again. So people thought it was England. So they started buying toilet paper in England and panic buying and fighting each other to buy toilet paper. When we've got up the road in Leeds, we've got one of the biggest toilet paper manufacturers in the world. It supplies half of Europe with toilet roll. I mean, it's fully automated. There's like 18, 19 staff. Now, you imagine the dude who owns that place. It's bonanza time. May you find your bonanza in the name of Jesus. Wow. And it showed in Italy. Italy has suffered this thing so bad. Yes. I don't know whether you know the backstory of why. There's five or six years ago, I don't know if you know this, Anna. Anna's from Italy. She's a guest here at Harvest for the next few months. And your family, though. Yes. Sorella mia, or how you say it. Sorella mia. And yeah, Italy has been suffering because about 5 years ago, some leather factories, a group of leather factories in northern Italy, were sold to a Chinese consortium. And the agreement was that China would send over 10,000 indigenous workers into the factory from Wuhan. So all through November, December, January, and early Feb, people were coming and going from Wuhan into Lombardy, Italy, not knowing that they were carrying this thing. And it became a national disaster. And there's something, you know, the brokenness of the people that you see on it, it moved me. And really, you know, honestly, if the worst comes to the worst, and I'm not believing for this at all, but if the worst came to the worst and a lot of people in the UK died, then, you know, as Christians, we're going to heaven. Amen. We know we're going because we've already been there. We had a taste of heaven tonight. Yes. So that's that. And it's like, you know, if you hear people say, oh, Pastor P, I'm afraid of dying. I said, listen, don't worry. If you die, we'll bury your carcass in the ground. We'll have a little festival and then we'll go and we'll thank God for your life. And we'll see you in heaven. How many of you've got relatives in heaven? Yeah. You see, I've got a relative in Canada. He's over in Canada. I've got relatives in Ireland. I've got relatives in America. I've got relatives in heaven. Heaven is just another place. That's that. So I rebuke the spirit of fear from any life in this place. The mighty name of Jesus. Fear drives people into doing the wrong thing. Just as faith will drive you into doing the right thing. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you've got to keep your hope strong. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement necessary for my peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah to Jesus. We do that to music, by the way, if you thought it was some sort of witchcraft. It's not. It was a hand wash that we sing to. Anyway, praise God. I want to share something with you that I've only shared once before in my life. It was a direct revelation from God the night before I shared it in Fort Lauderdale, USA. And I wanted, the thing about prophetic and apostolic ministry is that it's built around atmosphere, particularly the prophetic. When the atmosphere is there, when you release the word, something comes alive, change happens in lives. And I just believe that what we are going to be ministering to you tonight is something that's going to drop into your spirit. That by God's grace, the way you live your life and the way you see the life that you live will never be the same. Ever, ever, ever. You see, there's something that's intensely sweet to God. please, this thing is still blowing. If you adjust all the settings on it, please. Just 23 low or something. I can see some shiverers. And we want you nice and pampered. Isn't this a nice place to be pampered? There is something that is intensely sweet to God. And I've seen it. And I didn't quite understand it. But one night, in fact, the night before I preached it, I saw why every time I see it, I love it. And it's a strange thing. Initially, it's a strange thing to love. But by God's grace, I'll bring some explanation and some revelation, and you'll get some realization, and you'll never live your life the same way again. Amen. It's so sweet to God that he forbids us from having it ourselves. Now, there's very few things that God won't give us. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible said they could eat of every tree. They could eat what they liked. I mean, if some lamb walked past and Adam said to God, you know, Lord, I'm hungry. I've heard of this thing called kebab that they're going to eat in the next couple of thousand years. I want one of them now. I'm sure God would have given it to him. But he said, of the fruit of everything you can partake, except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That one is forbidden. So there's certain things that God forbids from us. There's certain things that exist that aren't for us. The tithe. The tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. That's the thing that belongs to God. It's the portion for God. I call it financial circumcision. And God leads us through the process of becoming a tither. How many of you, becoming a tither was a process? It was a journey. Because you think about it, you see, the step of faith in the tithe is that God can do more with the 90% that is circumcised to him than you can with 110% of stuff that hasn't been circumcised to God. Does that make sense? Yes. He recycles it. He automatically puts it back into the body of Christ. And you know, this is the outcome of these things. Missions happen. People are blessed. People are fortified, strengthened in their faith. He gives us his word beforehand so that we can walk out in the future. What does the Bible say? You shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, right? So our walk is a backwards walk. It's a walk we can't turn around and look to see if it's God, because that voice will always be behind us, and he leads us, the Bible says, in ways everlasting. For instance, when God told me, he said 2020, he says 2020 has got to be a year of pressing. I am so glad, Jesus, I am so glad I heard that word from God, because I feel to a certain extent our spirits have been prepped for the turmoil that the world is going through, so that we can still receive hope, and that hope can take substance and form into faith, and we can get the outcome of faith, living like people in Goshen. I mean, imagine how many people would think, they'll tune in now and they'll think this is some replay of something from before, because everyone sat together and you're all smiling and you love each other. Because no one's smiling out there anymore. We have to double smile now. Double smile. And make sure that we are kind and polite and courteous and all those kind of things out there that will show people that there's something different. Right. There's something different about you. You know, when people were out this morning panic buying, we were in praising Jesus at the altar. That's wackadoo. But the Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, what? A peculiar people. These people are peculiar. I can't quite work them out. Hallelujah to Jesus. Back to the word. There's certain things that's forbidden. Right. Under the ban. Before born again people have sex, they enter a covenant called marriage. Why? Because sex outside marriage is under the ban. Right. Yes. Amen. That's not to condemn anyone. This is God's ways. His ways, the Bible says, are higher than our ways. Amen. So we might think, you know, this whole love is love thing, but God says, no, sex is sex. Love is love. So there's a clear differentiator between the two. And he puts sex under the ban unless and until there's a covenant involved before him so that the two can become one flesh, right? Under the ban. But there's something else. There's something else that we are banned from ourselves. And when I prayed about it, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why? What is it? What is it about this particular thing that you just refuse us to be the orchestrators of? And he said this. He said, this thing, he says, is sweet to me. It's sweet in my mouth. And I want it for myself. And that thing is revenge. Revenge. What does the Bible say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. But then I was reading my scripture. I said, wow. I said, this thing is full of vengeance. Why do I sit down and I watch a movie, something like, I don't know, Django Unchained, and just laugh at some guy getting his head blown clean off? And, you know, people had problems with this. Oh, you know, oh, Pastor P, I would never watch anything over 12 rated. But then, you see, you read your Bible where the guy's daughter was sexually abused. And he takes the daughter and cuts her up into 12 pieces. I mean, that's worse than any kind of, you know, Tarantino hasn't even been there. You understand? So God can take some R-rated stuff. The Bible says when David killed Goliath, you know what he did with his head? He took his head and he presented it to King Saul. I mean, you imagine, this guy's head's the size of a bucket. And in walks David into the court of the king. And there's blood and eyeballs and bits hanging off. Have you ever seen those ISIS, those guys, the head choppers? And literally, I mean, literally puts it into the court of King Saul and presents it to the king. Here is the head of your enemies. Wow. So God's not afraid of a little blood and guts. And there was something about, there was a film called Inglourious, and I can't say the second word, about Nazi Germany. About and this guy comes out with a baseball bat. You don't have to watch it. I'll describe the whole thing to you. And he's a Jewish guy, and he's a baseball champion, and they call him the Bear Jew. And when this guy comes out, and I'm sitting there, it's like one of those old cowboy movies where they're chasing after the guys and shooting them, and it's like, yeah, come on, guys, come on, come on. Something so wonderful and so sweet and so powerful. Revenge. Is God's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But then this is what God told me, and this is why I believe by the end of this word tonight that you'll see your life a different way. Because God wants to use us as weapons of revenge. You think what the devil has put you through in life. You think, I mean, even looking back over my life, the poverty that I went through as a kid, the rejection, being told continually that I smell of weed because I wet the bed into my teenage years. Poor poor. The bed springs on my bed, cutting into my back and marking my back because the thing had basically rotted away. Bed sheets that were so embarrassing that when my mum hung them up out the back garden, my next door neighbour, who was almost as poor as us, had pity on us and went down to the shop and bought new bed sheets for us. Poverty. Poverty. If that alone that the devil did to me in life, if it was just that one thing that he did, that would be enough to drive me as a weapon of vengeance and a weapon of warfare for the rest of my natural life. Think what the devil told people to, inspired and drove people to do to you. Think about it for a second. What you've been through. Not so that self-pity can rise up in you, but so that you can say, Lord, avenge, avenge, avenge. Show me what to do. Take me as a weapon of vengeance. It will put a new zeal into your prayer life. It will put a new word in your mouth that when you sense the presence of the devil, you'll be all over him like a chicken on a bug. I mean, treading down serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. I don't know about you, but I want vengeance against the devil for what the devil has done around this planet with that disgusting thing. By God's grace, we'll do something. I want vengeance for the death of Prophet Kathy. I want it. I want it. And by God's grace, he'll use us to orchestrate it.
Amen.
We will become the perpetrators of holy vengeance. Amen. Glory to God. I really believe that it's a revelation for our generation. That when we pray, when we gather in, it's not just unto the Lord. It's so that we can just get some vengeance down from heaven. Against his enemies. Poverty is an enemy. Sickness is an enemy. Damnation is an enemy. Worthlessness is an enemy. And we're coming after it in the mighty name of Jesus. With salvation, with healing, with prosperity, with ambassadorship. The Bible says that we have been made kings and priests unto God. Think of what you've been through. As people, because there's something about presenting your life in that way to God at the altar and then saying, Lord, avenge, avenge, avenge. Show me what to do. Show me what to do. Where lives have been lost, people taken by demons into all sorts of murderous lifestyles, killing and being killed. Oh, Lord, avenge. Avenge. You see, how God avenges. Well, let's get into the word right now. I want us to go Isaiah chapter 61. I want to show you a couple of things. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Now, do you remember when Jesus was reading this scripture in Luke in the synagogue?
Yeah.
But there was one particular portion of this scripture that he didn't mention. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to prisoners, next verse, to proclaim the favorable year. We all know about that. That's Jubilee, right?
Yes.
To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and what? Ooh, and a day of vengeance for our God. One of the things I've prayed over my children, because our first child died at the age of 18 months. I said, devil, you're going to regret that. If I had the power to come against the devil so that he had to spend the last days of his existence before he's thrown into the fire on the moon, I would do it. I would do it. Fight him, drive him out at every opportunity. What I went through as a father. Saddest day of my life was pulling my child's car seat out of my car, knowing that the one who sat in it before wasn't going to sit in it again. I said, devil, when I'm recovered for this, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. And there's going to be a sword in my mouth, and it's going to cut you in two. The day of vengeance of our God. May God give you a day of vengeance. Amen. May the Lord give you a day of vengeance. Yes. May there be a day of vengeance. You see how God avenges? He pours out his Holy Spirit, releases healing anointings. He does massive crusades, and thousands of people get saved in moments. Vengeance. I stood on some platforms in my life. Largest crowd I ever preached to. They said officially it was 56,000 people because Independence Square in Accra finishes where the road goes across, for those of you who know Ghana. But there were people on the other side of the road further back as well. So I don't know what size the crowd was. But I stood there and preached, and I said, devil, look at what you've done now. You see, because it's not just, get me, brother and sister, it's not just the Lord leading me. It's vengeance driving me. Vengeance, I love it. It's sweet. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And you know how he repays? He equips us to be the very weapon of vengeance against the devil. May the Lord raise you up as a weapon of vengeance for what you've been through, for what your family has been through. The brokenness, the strife. Oh, yes. I want to stir you tonight because we're going to seek God for vengeance. Vengeance is mine. He's looking for weapons of vengeance in our generation. Jesus himself didn't touch that portion of scripture in Luke because he knew. He knew that he was God's ultimate weapon of vengeance. May the Lord make you a refined weapon of vengeance. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hypersonic. This was written in the days of bows and arrows. We are now in the days of hypersonic missiles. Things that you can't even see. Drones. I remember when Israeli intelligence went after the Hamas guy in the wheelchair. You remember that? And he's frantically pushing his wheelchair down the road, and nothing could save him. Something was coming. All that was left was some vapor and some wheelchair wheels. The guy was responsible for the death of thousands of Israelis, bus bombings and all sorts of stuff. But man, when they came after him, they really got him good. Vengeance, vengeance. May the Lord make you a weapon of vengeance. There's some of you, and people in your family line, called on all sorts of things to try and hold you in generational curses and witchcraft. May God use you to destroy every one of their altars in the mighty name of Jesus. I know it. I know it. White robe nonsense. Isaiah 59, verse number 15, the last portion of that verse. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Look at halfway down. It says, now the Lord saw. What did he see? Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. Look what he did. He put on. Now, do you remember in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10? And it says, therefore, brethren, having done all to stand, stand therefore, stand having girded your loins with truth, stand therefore having put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, taking up unto you the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, etc. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, which quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy, praying with all kinds of prayer. But look at this, look at this, look at this. This is the hidden one. He put on righteousness like a breastplate. And a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing. This is our underwear. This is our underwear. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. That when I'm putting on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and I'm girding my loins with truth and my feet are shod with the readiness to preach the gospel of peace, that's the bits you can see. But the bits you can't see is wall-to-wall vengeance. May God make you a weapon of vengeance, a weapon of warfare. I love it. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. There's something about revenge that makes you very zealous. You become filled with zeal. I want to pray. I want to seek the face of God. I want to blast the enemy. I want to destroy his works. I want to tear down his infrastructure. I want to invade Parliament. And fill it once again with godly people who love Jesus and who want the best for our nation, that they will serve the agenda for God in our generation. That's what I want. Hallelujah to Jesus. I've lived long enough seeing the oppression of the wicked, seeing how less than 2% of the population can tell the other 98% what to do. And I don't want it anymore. I want righteousness to be upheld in this land. And zeal as a mantle is on my shoulders. And vengeance, garments of vengeance, are underneath my armor. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. Let's have a look now. Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Verse number 5. Let the godly ones exult in glory. We've done that tonight, right? Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand. To what? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Turning this nation back to godliness will be a punishment for some people. I want to see the vengeance of the Lord in our generation. When I've stood in front of crowds of thousands and I've preached and I've released the way God uses me in the nations, I'll preach into an atmosphere and I'll preach into an atmosphere and I'll see the clouds build. And the Bible says when the clouds are full, it rains. And suddenly there's a point that happens that when I'm preaching, when I'm ministering, that suddenly those clouds are full and it begins to rain. It rains healings and miracles. It rains, hope comes alive in the people. When I went to the Volta region, a lot of Ghanaians won't even go to Volta. When I went to the Volta region and I preached in Ho, and I preached on the fire of God, A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The organizer, Reverend Chandu, who's living in Togo now, crosses over into Ghana. When he came to London, this was in May. Now, I was preaching there in Ho in October. The following May, I met him upstairs. He was here at HTB for a conference, a leaders' conference. And he said, when I left the Volta region last week, he said, they still had your billboard up at the back because we had a big platform there and then we had this massive, long tarpaulin billboard. He said, they still had that billboard up there, he said, since October last year. He said, because the hope in the people was so strong when they tried to remove the billboard. He said, there was nearly a riot in Ho. He said, because they were using it. Listen, they were using it as a point of contact for the hope to come alive in their heart, that they do have a future and they do have a life that's free of witchcraft and free of wizardry. I said, ha, take that, devil. Amen. Jesus' mighty name, weapon of vengeance. Weapon of vengeance. You are my battle axe, God said to Jeremiah. You are my weapon of war. So we don't just take up the sword of the Spirit. We become a physical embodiment of the vengeance of God, directed by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Lord himself. Go and pray for such and such. Go and encourage sister so-and-so. Go and do this. Go and do that. But I pray that from this moment on, that you'll not only have the zeal to do it, but you'll know that on your underwear is vengeance itself. That God will use you as a weapon of vengeance. My brother, you think of all the Bible schools you're planting across the world. And you think of how much vengeance that's wreaking on the devil. People who thought they couldn't do it, suddenly they're reading the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And some of them will be crazy enough to believe it. You have to be nuts to believe some of the word of God. But that's the whole point. That's exactly the whole point of faith. If God can find somebody crazy enough to believe his word, he'll fulfill it. Hallelujah to Jesus. May the Lord use you. Oh my goodness. May the Lord use you in extraordinary ways. May the desire for revenge be so strong on the inside of you. Every pound you make of profit that becomes a tithe, that becomes a seed, that becomes an offering, anything like that, may the Lord show you what it means in heaven to be planted as a weapon of vengeance. I've used my seed that way. I've used my financial seed as a weapon of vengeance on the devil. I've found people. You know, there's something about giving to the poor. So because I was there, I know what it means. I know what it means in the life of somebody that somehow there's a God who loves them and who cares for them. And you can use that thing as a weapon. If you've been poor in your life, start using your wealth as a weapon. Watch what God will do. Watch what the Lord will do. I have a question for you tonight, my brother and sister. Will you just devote yourself tonight? This is an altar call, but we're not going to come forward. We're just going to stand where we are. If you will devote your life as a weapon of vengeance because of what the word says, because of what has been said tonight, I want you to stand to your feet because I want us to pray. You see, I had to dedicate my ministry from the moment God gave me that revelation. I had to dedicate my ministry as a ministry of vengeance. It was always there, hovering in the back, but I never had God's perspective on the thing. But God released something as a result of that revelation. And it put a new zeal. It was like, I don't know, it's like if you've ever driven on some old fuel for your car, and then they give you like the turbo version. It gave me a new turbo for my life and ministry. That I'm not just living it for God. That I'm not just bowing the knee to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, send me. Doesn't matter where you send me. If you send me, I'll go. But now it's, Lord, send me. Send me, because I want some serious revenge on the enemy. I know that every person I prophesy over and that prophecy comes true. I remember prophesying over your situation. And I remember the thing that was driving me. The very thing that was driving me was, oh Lord, avenge. That little life that should have been, that wasn't, avenge. And the next thing, something so bold came out of my mouth. It was like shocking to me. And it came to pass. Vengeance. Vengeance. Think of what the devil has put you through. The pain, the heartache, the slaughter, the attempted murder. Think. I'm raising vengeful people tonight. There's going to be that little extra glint in our eye when God does something as a result of this prayer. Close your eyes, lift up your hands to heaven right now, and just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we dedicate ourselves a new way tonight. We'll remember what the spirit of Amalek did, what the spirit of Midian did, what the Moabite devils did, what the Philistine devils did, what the Jebusite devils did, and every other ite that came against your people. As the children of Israel fought natural enemies, so we fight spiritual enemies. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle, our vengeance is not against those who did anything to us. Our vengeance is a different kind of vengeance. It's a sweet vengeance. It's a blessed vengeance. It's one that fills us with zeal. Hallelujah to Jesus, that you go out after the enemy in a new way, a new zeal upon your life, a new desire to see God's kingdom come and His will be done and His enemies destroyed like wax melting before the fire. Hallelujah. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, I dedicate myself as a weapon of vengeance in your hand, that your banner will be raised, that your glory will be seen, that zeal for your house will be in my life, and that vengeance will be so sweet to me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, our Savior.